As you may know, if you've been worshiping the last 3 weeks or reading about our ministry, we've been having some fun learning about how the theme of baseball interfaces with the Christian journey and using baseball as a metaphor for life, for ways of thinking about being better Christian disciples. And we've looked at the power of the team as an image for the church. And we've talked about getting around the bases, making progress and moving forward. And today we're going to talk about the theme of encouragement. But in the spirit of having fun, which we have had, we've watched Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, who's on first. Last week we saw that wonderful clip of Theo, who ran around the bases backwards after hitting a grand slam. Lots of fun, lots of good stories. I want you just to see one last fun clip, because it reminds us that we're all human, even if you're a professional baseball player making lots of money on the biggest stage, things go wrong. Take a look at what happened to this pitcher. So if you didn't catch that, he couldn't get the ball out of his glove. So he threw the whole glove to the first baseman. So a lot of fun. Well, the text that Basil read a moment ago is one of my favorite, from one of my favorite books in the Bible, a letter to the Hebrews. We don't know who wrote that letter, but we do know he was trying to encourage and to instruct the early church. In his instruction, he writes to them that it's important as the church for participants in the church to encourage each other. Listen again to the main sentence we want to look at for a moment. He wrote, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." When you look at that one sentence, you see first that it's a communal thing. Let us. It's written to the church. It's communal. How we may spur each other on. The writer is assuming that Christians are connected to each other. And the truth be told, there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. We are connected. And he goes on to use an interesting image. You see it only three times in all of the Bible with the word spur. And when you look that word up, I wondered if there was some different meaning in a biblical language deeper, and there's not. What I discovered is spur means spur, as if you're riding a horse. And those of you who've ridden a horse, you know there are spurs on the horse, and on the saddle, rather. And the rider uses those spurs by kicking the side of the horse gently to spur the horse forward. So the writer of the Hebrews uses this word. It's an action word. It's a strong word. Very serious word. Spur on the horse. Spur on each other to deeds of love and service, encouraging each other with the goal of performing deeds of love and service. And so we get a strong sense that the writer of the Hebrews wants the church to encourage each other and to spur each other on to deeds of love and service and not forgetting to come together. Now, baseball imagery is filled with possibilities here, and one of them certainly is the fact that when you get a group of people in a stadium, whether it's a little league field and the bleachers or a stadium in New York City or Los Angeles, you have lots of people. And what is a game without those people encouraging the players? So you get all kinds of things going on. You have the crowd shouting out and encouraging. Now, most of the time, they're positive things. I get that. I've been to games, believe me. I had to move my kids from one section to another section at a Boston Yankees game years ago. But For the most part, they're encouraging words. They're spurring on the player. And then there's signs. Some of them make signs encouraging. People are wearing jerseys to somehow identify and encourage the name of that particular player. Maybe there's some face painting going on. And always there's, in the professional leagues, there's the Jumbotron or the scoreboard where you have all these words and images and music. The whole purpose of all of that is to encourage the team that they're cheering for. Obviously, two sides. Well, the writer of the Hebrews asks the question for us, let us consider how to encourage. So we ask ourselves, how can we encourage each other on the Christian walk? We can do it in a variety of ways. The first right out of Scripture is by gathering together, by coming together. Can you imagine what it would be like for a baseball team to go out on the field, whether it's in a professional league or a high school game, wherever, to look around and to see absolutely nobody in the stands? What would that be like? That would be, frankly, discouraging. Now, if you're a Mets fan, you know all about this, but I'm sorry. Okay. If you're a Yankees fan, fair game. But you know that it's discouraging when there's not people there. And the whole goal of people going to games, especially for our youth and our children and our children's softball and baseball games, it's to encourage each other by gathering together, by being in the same place together. The writer of the Hebrews says, let us not give up meeting together. And then there's an interesting phrase, and this just is music to the pastor's ears, because what happened then is still real today. As some have done. Don't give up meeting together, as some have done. There were people who were skipping church back then, folks. Don't give up meeting together, because there's this sense of encouragement just by being in the same place together. I've repeatedly said, and I hope you believe, that by coming here, you encourage someone else who sees you here. By going through the journeys of life, and some of them I know are hard, and some of you right now are walking through heavy, heavy water, that as you go through it, other people see you here and they think, or maybe even say, gosh, Bill is going through a lot of stuff, but he's still in church. He's holding on to his faith. When you see each other, you encourage each other. Don't give up gathering together. We encourage each other by just simply gathering together, whether it's in worship, service, fellowship, or study. Once there was a little boy who went out for Little League, and he wasn't very good, at least he didn't think he was, and yet he was on the team, and he got to play right field at the beginning of the game. And as he was out there, he looked in the bleachers behind home plate, and he looked for his dad, and he didn't see him. And he felt even worse. He didn't even think he should be out there. He didn't know if he wanted to play. First inning went to the second inning, and he looked on the bleachers, and he's looking for his dad through the crowd, and he didn't see him. Third inning came along. He's out in the field, and once again, he's looking in, and he's looking in, and then all of a sudden, he sees his dad walk in and take his seat. And the little boy picks up, feels stronger and better, and is starting to get really excited, because his dad's there to watch him and to encourage him. That's what we find in each other when we gather together. How do we encourage each other? By gathering together. We also encourage each other by speaking words of hope to each other. The writer of the Hebrews, just before this line, talks about not giving up the hope which we profess. Now that means the hope that we talk about. To profess something is to talk about it. And it's one of the biggest challenges for Christians today, because I find a lot of Christians don't seem to want to talk about their faith. About what God's done in your life, about how God's made a difference in your life, about what your church, what your faith means to you. We need to talk about it. Don't give up the hope of professing your faith. We encourage each other by talking about our faith, about what God's done in our lives. Be sure to continue to talk about your faith and to share your faith. You encourage others when you do that. Silence is a very dangerous thing. When we are silent about our faith, we leave question marks about where we stand. In a crowd in a baseball stadium, they're not silent. In fact, it's fascinating how many people going to a baseball game will be extremely loud. Folks that you wouldn't expect to be exuberant and very vocal, all of a sudden are cheering and yelling. And yet, these same folks, bearers of the Christian faith, seem hesitant to talk about their faith. We encourage each other, though, when we talk about our faith. Speak to each other. Speak to those at school, at work, at the sports field, about your faith, about your church, about what God has done in your life. We also encourage each other by supporting each other. That support often comes financially, by sharing our financial resources in support for others. And the scriptures are filled with challenges to share what we have with others. I think of the Apostle Paul, who had a great heart for the church in Jerusalem after he had left there and was out doing his ministry. And he went to Macedonia, and there was a very wealthy church there. And wealth is always relative, isn't it? But there were people with some resources, certainly more than those in Jerusalem. And he began getting a collection together for the saints in Jerusalem. Imagine how encouraged they were when someone delivered to those poor Christians who were struggling mightily against persecution and rejection. How encouraged they were when someone came and gave them money so that they could live and feed their families. I always remember Grace. Grace moved into Heath Village in about 1986, just as this church was getting ready to embark on its first major building campaign in years and years, a campaign that eventually created Star Hall in our chapel and our Sunday school classrooms. You go there all the time, but it didn't exist in 1987. But there was a vision and a dream among the leaders of this church to create that space. And it was a huge dream, both physically and financially. And we had very little idea, and I sure had no idea, how we were ever going to afford it. All we did was take one step at a time, and we had to get architectural drawings called for so we knew what we were dreaming and could see it on paper. We had no money to pay the architect until Grace sent a check to the church. And I'll never forget opening that envelope and being so encouraged that someone out there had sought the vision, caught the vision, shared the resource so that we could move forward. I was encouraged when I told the story to others, how encouraged they were. It's like the story of a little league baseball team in the inner city. They were just getting together, and there was a couple of adults who wanted to create this opportunity for young inner city kids to play little league, but they had no equipment, a couple of bats and two balls. That was it. No uniforms. Some kids didn't have a glove. And yet, as the word went out, there was a wealthy man in that city who heard about this team, and he just wrote a check. It was such an easy thing for him and his wealth. And he sent it in. Can you imagine, can't you see right now what it was like when the coach went to 15 little inner city kids and said, "Guess what, kids? You're going to have uniforms." Yay! Can't you hear the cheer going up? They were encouraged because someone shared resources. We encourage each other when we share our resources for our common visions in ministry and mission. Finally, we encourage each other by praying for each other. And I am so personally moved regularly as people say to me, "Pastor, I pray for you on a regular basis." My goodness, that encourages me. I hope and pray that you will pray for the people of this church who do ministry, whether it's mission or ministry teams, or whether it's those things that simply seem to get done, but people do them, from cleaning this place to providing coffee, to teaching Sunday school, to working in the thrift shop, wherever those things happen. Pray for people, pray for each other and the ministry. By doing that, you encourage them, and be sure to tell them that you're praying for them. Well, I want you to see in closing, at the end of our July sermon series on baseball as a metaphor for faith, I want you to see this little clip from a movie that some of you, maybe many, have seen, The Natural. Take a look.
Let's go.
are the crowd. So let us be the encouraging cheerleaders for those among us and within this body of Christ who are going through difficult times. Let us be the encouraging crowd for those who are sick, the encouraging crowd for those who've lost their work, the encouraging crowd cheering on those who have family crises. Let us, the church, be the encouraging crowd who cheer on those who are broken in heart or body. Let us be the encouraging crowd for those who are aged and lonely. Let us be the encouraging crowd for those who don't know how they're going to pay their bills next month. You are the church, and we together are the encouraging crowd. Let us be the church, encouraging each other on to deeds of love and service and faithful Christian discipleship. Because the truth is, friends, we all need that encouragement.